And all the parents said, Amen. Yes, it is that time of year again where school begins. So what better time for us to join back in and go to class as well, right? What better time for us as we worship to be back together, learning together and studying together? We should go to class with them. So for the next 6 weeks, we are going to spend time in class together. And what better thing to remember from our high school experience than gym class? It was everybody's favorite, right? Gym class. Now, this is not going to be like the gym class that you remember, because gym class here for the next 6 weeks, we're going to be studying together the book of James in the New Testament of the Bible. So if you have not read James yet, I encourage you that you're behind on your summer reading. So go ahead and read James a little bit over the next few days. It's not a long book. It will engage you quickly. You can read it through a few times and you will learn a great deal, and you will be prepared for our conversations as we do the heavy lifting of studying through James and being together in gym class. So friends, we will see that James's book is a book of active faith engagement rather than passive faith acceptance. This is a book about action. This is a book about growth. So read with me, if you will, our first words, our first passage from the book of James as we begin our first piece of our syllabus in gym class, practicing perseverance. Chapter 1, verse 2 begins this way: Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking in anything. Maybe it's because I love football. Maybe it's because I've been around a lot of different football-related things in my life. But I can't help but hearing a football coach at the beginning of fall practice in these first verses of James. I can't help but hear the coach standing up in front of the young charges, looking across them and shaking his head and saying, Team, we've got a lot of work to do. We've got some work to do to get ready for this season. And if we don't do this work, if we don't get serious about it, it's going to be a long season. It's going to get ugly. But if we will take the time together, if we will work hard together, if we will work on the fundamentals, if we will learn our plays and learn our formations, and if we are willing to work on our bodies and get things ready, when the season starts, we will be ready to make it through the whole long season, ready to perform at our best. But we can't give it any half-hearted effort. We've got to give it everything we've got. I can hear the football coach in James. Now, maybe I'm just imagining a little too much, but James is very forthright throughout his book, throughout this letter that he's written. We know very little about the audience that it's written to, except it's a group of Jewish Christians. We know very little about the writer. Tradition tells us it's James, the half-brother of Jesus, the one who was the apostle to the Jews, while Paul was noted as being the apostle to the Gentiles. James was the head of the Jewish church in Jerusalem. So most likely, maybe that's who it is, but we have very little concrete knowledge for sure. But what we do know is the writer of James speaks in very clipped, forthright, right-in-your-face kind of wording. He speaks with very clear Greek. It's translated very clearly, and it reads like a motivational football coach trying to get his people to move forward. Think about it. Think about the text we just read. Brothers and sisters, don't tell me how hard it is to follow God's calling. Of course it's hard. In fact, consider it a joy when your journey with God is hard, because hard moments build spiritual strength, and that strength builds your spiritual maturity. As you persevere with determination, you find your way to completeness in every area of life. every detail of life that God intends for you, you can hear that this guy, James, is pumped up. And he is ready to get a group of people who are reading to him. He is ready to jerk them right out of their faith doldrums and ready to say to them, look, of course following Jesus is hard. Of course it's difficult, but it's worth every ounce of blood, sweat, and tears that you put into it. This is James. James is not the sentimental Christian. He is not the one that comes and pats you on the head. James is one who hits you between the eyes. So let's get ready. This is gym class. We're going to have to do some heavy lifting. So what's the heavy lifting for today? I want you to take your bulletin if you have it. You have on the inside of your bulletin a section there, the Equipping Christ Followers section, where you have a little outline today that hopefully is going to help us remember the pieces that of the puzzle that we are putting together. There are four truths today and then a final thought that we will share today. These four things from our text that we will read today and work through to help us with the first thing we want to learn about James that is for our faith, and that is how to practice perseverance. Every title of these sermons is going to be practice something, because James is very, very concerned about getting us to follow Jesus and do it with our actions, not just with our words. We're going to talk a lot about that. James is concerned with action. So we're going to talk through the four truths to remember today and then a final thought. The four truths to remember. The first thing we need to talk about is that we have a goal. James tells us that all of us who follow Jesus, we have a goal for our lives. When you decide to follow Jesus Christ, there is a goal that is put in front of you. And that goal is to grow to completeness and maturity. Our goal is to grow in Christ to completeness and maturity. Now, completeness is an interesting word. In some translations, it's actually translated perfection. Wait a minute. No one's perfect but God alone. Jesus himself. How can we grow to perfection? Well, 1 Peter tells us that we are called to be holy as Christ himself is holy. So we are called to grow to be like God. When we decide to follow Jesus, we are called to grow to be like Jesus. That is our calling. It's not to sort of look like Jesus. It's not to believe the right things about Jesus. It's not to go to church and learn more about Jesus. It's to be like Jesus. We are not called to be religious. We are called to be like Jesus. Those can be two very different things. We have a goal, and that goal is completeness and maturity in Christ. That is what we are after. Even though it's hard. Now, what does it mean to be complete and mature in Christ? Now, we could talk about this for a whole series in and of itself, what completeness and maturity looks like in Christ. We could talk about that for weeks by itself, but let's just say a couple of things, first of all. There's a general understanding of what it means to be complete and mature, and there's a specific understanding for every follower of Jesus. Every single one of us has the same calling. We are called to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. When we decide to follow Jesus, we take up that great commandment life. That life that says we are to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. How do we love God with all of our heart, mind, and strength? Well, one of the ways we do it is right here. When you come to worship with the people of God, you don't come to be entertained. You don't come to be enjoy things. You come to love God, to pour forth your love in singing, in prayer, and in learning, to pour forth your devotion to God through being with the people of God and giving God the glory and the thanks for your week and what has happened during your week, and to pray with God with intensity for preparation for the week to come. This is a time where we come to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. But we don't only do it here. If we only love God here, we are just religious people. We're not Jesus followers. Because we are called to love God out there. We're called to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength by praying, By reading the Word of God and learning more about what it says on a day-to-day basis, not just reading the Bible in church, we are called to learn by using our mind. The old noodle, you've heard of that. We are called to read and learn more about this remarkable world that God has created, this remarkable universe that God has created. We are called to learn more and discover more and to grow in love for the awesome power of God that could create something that is so marvelous and so remarkable and so wonderful as the people you see in this room, the people you see in this world, and the world itself that we look at it with so much beauty. We are called to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength every single day of the week, every day of the year, not just when we're in here. And then we're also called to love our neighbors as ourselves. If our love for God does not transfer to love of neighbor, then we don't love God very much. Because we are called to love people. We are called to serve people. We are called to look at other people and have our first thoughts for them be thoughts of kindness and grace rather than judgment and distancing. We are called to look to people that are different than us and think of them as creations in the image of God rather than persons who speak differently or vote differently or look differently or anything else differently. We are called to love our neighbors as ourselves. And neighbor applies to anyone. Because we really only love God, as someone has said, Dorothy Day once said, we really only love God as much as we love the person we love the least. That's our calling, friends. All of us as followers of Jesus have the same calling. And if we want to grow to completeness and maturity, we have to grow to completely love God with all our heart, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. That's all of our calling. Now, we play that calling out in a very specific life. Because I want you to look around. Look around. Go ahead, you can. It's allowed. Stretch yourself a little bit. I know. Look around. Look at the people around here. You know what I notice? Every one of you looks different. Every one of you looks different. I am blessed to have relationships with many of the people in this room. You know what I know? Not only do you look different, you are different. I'm very different. No comments, no amens, thank you. Every single one of us in this room has remarkable gifts, talents, capabilities, things that no one else in this room has. We've been blessed with musicians up here who have stewarded their gifts to honor God and worship, and we've heard from them their remarkable abilities this morning, both singing and playing and how they put this together. It's a remarkable thing, their giftedness. And then we see giftedness, like you look on the front of this bulletin here. Michael Adams designed this beautiful little gym class thing here with the basketball goal and everything. You thought he could just play the guitar, sing, and make youth happy. But no, he has so many more gifts than that. He not only can preach and not only can teach our youth, he has these graphic design skills and gifts as well. There are gifts all throughout our fellowship. And one of our responsibilities to grow to completeness and maturity in Christ is that we discover our unique spiritual gifts, our talents, our passions, and we leverage those for the sake of loving God and loving our neighbors. We don't keep them to ourselves. We leverage all of those gifts for the sake of loving God and loving our neighbors. One of the great things that's coming next after we finish gym class for the next 6 weeks, we are going to spend sermon time and Wednesday night time talking about our spiritual gifts, talking about our talents, talking about how God has equipped each one of us with a particular gift mix to do God's mission in the world. We're going to talk about all that. What we need to understand now is that to grow to completeness and maturity in Christ, which is our goal, we have to do what is generally required of all of us. Love God, love others. And then we must also discover our own specific makeup so that we can take that specific makeup, our spiritual gifts and talents, and steward those for the sake of God's kingdom. For the sake of what God is doing in the world to love people where they are. So that people will know that God loves them, God cares about them, God created them, and God has a purpose for every single life. We exist as followers of Jesus, to grow to completeness and maturity in Christ. And we do that in general by loving God and loving others, and we do that specifically by learning how God has wired us to do His mission in the world. That is our goal. Thankfully, we have a goal, but we also have a path toward that goal. Because a goal without a path, a goal without a plan is a wish. A goal without a plan is a wish. I wish I weighed 20 pounds less. Well, without a plan that I'm following that somehow involves me eating less pizza, I'm not going to get there. That's just the way it is, because I'm a man of a certain age, and it doesn't just drop off the way that it used to. Is that a little too personal? You okay with that? You have to have a path to get to the goal. And the path that God has given us to get to completeness and maturity in Christ is perseverance. Perseverance is our path. What is perseverance? Perseverance is that dogged determination that says no matter how hard things get, we won't quit. It is different than patience. Patience is important. Patience is a fruit of the Spirit. It's something we're to cultivate. It is a sense that we are not anxious about stuff happening fast. Perseverance is an action. It is a dogged determination that says, regardless of how hard things get in my job, in my life, in my relationships, in my journey with Jesus, I will not quit honoring God with my life. I will not stop. That's what perseverance is. If we are going to grow to completeness and maturity in Christ, then we are going to have to adopt a life of perseverance. Now, let me stop right there because I don't want us to make a fatal error here. We do not make ourselves complete and mature in Jesus Christ. We do not, through our effort, make ourselves more godly and more like Jesus. That's not how this works. What we do with perseverance is we place ourselves, we make a plan day in and day out where we are going to place ourselves in the presence of the Holy Spirit, in the presence of God, in the presence of Jesus Christ, and we do whatever habits it takes for us to place ourselves in the presence of Jesus. And as we are in the presence of the Holy Spirit, living under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, Jesus transforms us to be complete and to be mature. What we do is we practice habits that put us in the presence of Jesus Christ and in the mindset of Jesus Christ. And as we put ourselves in His presence and in His care, He remakes us so that we look more like Him. It is not our job to transform ourselves. We're not transformers. It is our job to reorient our lives so that we spend as much time as possible in God's presence and in God, the presence of God, immersed in the Holy Spirit, so that while we are in God's presence, God transforms us. Because we cannot make ourselves more holy. That is Christ at work in us. So what does that mean? Well, that means we every day, every moment, every hour, we find ways to recalibrate our mind and our hearts to be focused on Jesus. One of the ways John Ortberg talks about this the most is we simply think about every moment of our day as a moment where we can be in the presence of the Holy Spirit. And each moment we simply say, Holy Spirit, take control. I want my life immersed in your life. And as we immerse our life in the life of the Spirit works on our rough spots and begins to change us more so that we have the character of Jesus Christ. Our effort then, friends, is not effort that says, We make ourselves like Jesus. Our effort is spent putting ourselves in the presence of Jesus. And as we do that, through reading the Word, through prayer, through actively engaging a thought life that repels thoughts that are not God-honoring thoughts and instead opens our minds to thoughts that honor God, we begin to place ourselves more and more in the presence of Christ, and we begin, through the power of the Holy Spirit, to look more and more like Him, because God is the one who transforms us. God is the one that makes us like His Son. But sometimes followers of Jesus just say, you know what, I'm just going to sit here till God changes me. I'm going to just ask God to take away this desire for the sin in my life. I'm going to ask God to make me not want this anymore or not do this anymore. Friends, God has made our spiritual transformation into a partnership. Our job is to put ourselves into the presence and into the immersion of the Holy Spirit. His job is to change us, to transform us. So what we do, friends, is we can't just sit there and wait on God to make us the way God wants us to be. Our job is to day in and day out, when it feels like it and when it doesn't, to put ourselves in connection with God. And that's where perseverance comes in, because guess what? There are some days when life is hard and we don't feel like connecting with God. There are some days when life is hard where we are doing all we can to pray and it doesn't feel like God even hears us. There are some days when things going on in our families and our family life are just so painful that the only thing we can do is barely survive. And the best we can do is say, God, somehow help me get through till tomorrow. Friends, perseverance means that every single day we do not quit pursuing the goal of completeness and maturity in Christ, even on the days it gets hard. And it does get hard. We need to understand something. Perseverance is the gift that we bring to our partnership and our relationship with God. It's the gift of saying, God, we know you're not going to quit on us, so we're not going to quit coming toward you. Because that's our total job, to come toward Jesus. Perseverance is our path, and we need to understand something. The path to our goal will be difficult. The path to our goal will be difficult. What's our goal? Completeness and maturity in Jesus Christ. Our path is perseverance, and getting to completeness and maturity in Christ will be difficult. Why is that? Well, because life is hard. Anybody noticed? Life is hard. If you're praying for an easy life, you're living in fantasy land. Because suffering comes to all of us. James 1:12 says this, "Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him." And moving on to chapter 5, starting with verse 7, "Be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for land to yield its valuable crop, and how patient he is for the autumn and spring rains. You too be patient and stand firm, because of the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against each other, brothers or sisters, or you'll be judged. The judge is standing at the door. Brothers, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke the name of the Lord. As you know, we consider blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. You could say that the way to completeness and maturity is difficult. You could also say that many times it's painful. We will, the text tells us, face trials and hardships and trouble. We will also face temptations. All of these things threaten to throw us off our game and keep us from placing our lives in the presence of the Holy Spirit on a moment-by-moment basis. All of these things and so many others tempt us away from focus on Jesus Christ. Our lives are filled with distractions. Some of them are even good. But as Jim Collins teaches us, the enemy of great is not bad. The enemy of great is settling for good. We can be distracted from God by settling for good things and missing the best thing. Friends, life is difficult, and it makes it hard to persevere. One of our great temptations in our age is that we want a deep faith with God to come easily. We want microwave spirituality. And yet it does not happen that fast. We want to go to a Christian conference. We want to go to a small group. We want to go to a church. We want to go somewhere where we get pumped up in our faith so quickly so that all the growth happens. And then when something we're not feeling as pumped up, we go somewhere different and we try and keep ourselves pumped up all the time. And friends, that's not the way it works. Let me ask you a question. Husbands, boyfriends, whoever in the room, for your special someone, have you ever cooked a special meal for your wife? Anybody? Okay, those of you who raised your hand, you just made all of us look bad. All of you. No, I'm just kidding. Have you ever cooked a very special meal? A steak dinner? Now, let me ask you a question. How many of you cooked that very special steak dinner meal in the microwave? I mean, have you ever tried to get a steak medium rare or well done in the microwave? Can you hear it now? Hey, baby, let's come on over. We're going to have a great dinner tonight. I've microwaved the steak just right. Or imagine this. You pick up the perfect brisket, and you're decided you want to smoke some barbecue. Or maybe you picked up the pork butts or whatever it was you picked up. You're going to smoke the perfect barbecue, and you get the wood chips soaked, and you get it just right, and then you put it all in the microwave. That's not going to work, is it? Folks, barbecue doesn't barbecue in the microwave. It takes hours. In your smoker, your big green egg, whatever it is that you have, it takes hours at low temperature with the wood chips being fed right and things being optimal. And then after the right amount of time, the 6 to 8, the 10 hours, it comes out and it melts in your mouth. Folks, maturity doesn't happen in a moment. Maturity is a lifelong journey. There's no one in this room who's reached spiritual maturity yet, because as long as we're still breathing, we still have something to learn. We have still something else in us to become more like Jesus. It is a lifelong journey toward God that we are on. And yet too often we have been ensnared by the instantaneous social media world where we can order anything we want on Amazon and it shows up the next day. That's not how spiritual maturity works. Spiritual maturity is a day in, day out, one prayer after another, one foot in front of the other, lifelong journey. And it's a journey that takes you through when you get divorced. It's a journey that takes you through when you get that awful health diagnosis. It's the journey that takes you through when you have to move your parents into assisted living. It's the journey that takes you through when that person who promised you a job doesn't come through. It's the journey that takes you through when you're when your body starts hurting and there's no explanation and it starts going down. It's that journey that takes you through all of these and so many other things, including when your children grow up and go away to school or grow up and go away. It's that journey that keeps going when your children do what you wanted them to and when your children do what you don't want them to do. It's the journey that takes you through all of those things. And if we're going to grow to completeness and maturity, it's not going to be with Christian sentimentality or bumper sticker theology. It's going to be with putting one foot in front of the other and saying, God, whatever comes my way, I will put my life in your hands and you transform me to be like your son. It's the only way it happens. You don't grow complete and mature in Christ just by coming and sitting on the same pew for 40 years. It happens through 40 and 50 and 60 years of putting one foot in front of the other and being changed by Jesus. And if it's going to happen, it's going to happen when life hurts too, right? Because suffering happens to everybody. For some odd reason that I can only sort of explain, suffering is your opportunity of growing the deepest. It is also the opportunity of running the farthest away from God. People tend to do one or the other. I remember years ago, a lady I knew got a horrible diagnosis of cancer. One of those kinds that has the survival rate in the single digits. She got it and she was devastated by that news, but she resolved to fight, and she fought hard. And for months, she fought with chemotherapy and radiation and everything she could do until one day she got too tired and said, you know what? I'm at peace. I'm done. And the treatment stopped. A month or so later, I was visiting with her in her home. And as we were talking and as we were praying together, she looked at me and said, you know what, Randy? I am so glad I got cancer. And I looked at her and I said, you're going to have to explain that one to me, because nobody is glad they get cancer. Nobody gets that diagnosis and says, yay, lucky me. Tell me what you mean. And as she talked, I began to understand. She says, I've never prayed like I've been praying since I've had cancer. I prayed before, but as I've had cancer and as I've been with this, as I've been taking chemo and radiation, I spent more and more time with Jesus. And I felt Him changing me, making me less bitter, making me pray more for my family and more for the world. And I saw things change in me that I always wanted to change. I guess what I mean is that during my cancer, I've met Jesus in a whole new way. And I'm grateful. A week later, she was grateful to meet her Jesus face to face. Friends, suffering is either a time where we, through perseverance, decide to go closer to Jesus, or it's a time where we run away. Now, friends, sometimes growing closer to Jesus may mean you go closer to Him with a screaming argument. You may grow closer to Him with a shaking fist. You may let out your frustration on Him. Guess what? Read the Bible. There are a lot of folks who did that. Jesus, when He was on the cross, His words were straight from Psalm 22. My God, why have you forsaken me? That's as raw as it gets, folks. If the Son of God can do that, then guess what? We can do it too. God is big enough for it. Whatever it is, friends, when you are suffering, go to Jesus. He can handle it if it's rough. He can handle it if it's real. Go to Jesus. Because He's there. We have said that we have a goal, and that goal is completeness and maturity in Christ. We have a path of perseverance. We have said that that path is going to be difficult, but thanks be to God, even though it's difficult, we have companions on the journey. We don't go through perseverance and following Jesus by ourselves. We have companions on the journey. Remember in James 5, he told us about the prophets. They knew a thing or two about suffering. He told us about Job. Man, Job knew a thing about suffering. By the way, he also wasn't all that patient. He let God have it. Over and over again, he said, God, come on, explain this one to me. He had great perseverance, but he was ready to have a good conversation with God from the beginning. Read through it. It's fascinating. We have companions in the Scriptures. We have Jesus who's been through suffering. You know what else? We have each other. And this, friends, is the great gift of a church family. In a church family, we walk to follow Jesus together. When one of us is struggling, we pull one another along. When one of us is celebrating, we celebrate, and that person's celebration takes us along. When one person is rejoicing, we rejoice. When one person is hurting, we hurt, and we all persevere together, because perseverance by ourselves is too hard. But thanks be to Jesus, we can do it when we do it together. We can inspire each other onward in persevering to follow Jesus when we do it together. I think this reason right here is why that weird verse shows up in James 5. That passage we read, did y'all notice verse 9? James is telling us all about persevering in our suffering, and then he sticks this in there. He's telling us, verse 8, you too be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against each other, brothers or sisters, or you'll be judged. The judge is standing at the door. Where did that come from? We're talking about perseverance and suffering. Where did that come from? Grumbling against each other. You know what I've noticed? When I get in a bad mood, when things aren't going my way, I gripe more. When my body hurts, I'm more likely to gripe. When things are hard in my life, I'm more likely to complain. Have you ever noticed that about yourself? Good. I'm glad it's not just me. All right. When we are hurting, when things are not going well, we are more likely to vent. We are more likely to complain. We are more likely to gripe. And we are more likely to be bothered by something someone else does or doesn't do. So we oftentimes, especially in family settings like this, will grumble. And I think James knows this. Friends, understand something about human beings. Let's understand this about one another. The great psychological expression is this: hurt people hurt people. When you're hurting, you hurt other people. You didn't mean to, but all of your hurt comes out onto someone else. Maybe it happens in your family. Maybe it happens at church. But let's make a commitment to each other. The next time somebody says something mean to you that just seems to come out of nowhere, instead of getting riled up, why don't you immediately pray for that person and say, God, they must be hurting a lot, because they just put a whole lot of hurt on me. They must be hurting a lot. If we learn how to understand and empathize with other people that are hurting, we become more forgiving, which means we become more like Jesus. And maybe, friends, that will help us remember that when our lives are hurting, when we are suffering, maybe that will help us remember to hold our tongue a little bit. James has a lot to say about that, by the way. Maybe that will help us hold our tongue when we're hurting. Because just because we're hurting, we don't want to wound other people while we're walking and wounded. Maybe we can all learn a little bit more grace for one another when we hurt and when they hurt. The final thought, friends, this journey to completeness and maturity, it's not about me. It's about Christ formed in me. We have one purpose, friends, to be formed in completeness and in maturity in Jesus Christ. He will do that for us if we persevere. So friends, join me in a commitment for our gym class. Join me in a simple commitment. The commitment is this: we won't quit. We won't quit. Oh Lord Jesus, help us to persevere. Help us persevere as we grow in loving you and grow in loving our neighbors. Help us to persevere as we grow to completeness and maturity in Christ. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.